in the country. She's a very nice woman, but she doesn't have the respect.
I think many people were shocked that President Trump threw Maria Corina Machado under the bus, the woman who basically dedicated her Peace Prize and said that Trump should have gotten that Peace Prize. Where does this leave her? And also talk about the wife of exactly who President Maduro's wife, Celia Flores, is. She is a key political figure herself.
For sure. I mean, let's start with Maria Corina Machado.
And we have 30 seconds.
No one could have been more surprised as she was sidelined, not just at the press conference, but then doubled down yesterday. Marco Rubio also saying that she's not ready, you know, to stand in. I think what Machado overestimated was the degree to which Trump wanted democracy. He doesn't want democracy. He just wants oil, right? And so in that sense, you know, it was unsurprising that she would be sidelined to anyone but her.
Celia Flores, 10 seconds.
Celia Flores, long story career under Chavez, was the head of the National Assembly, significant degree of political power. We'll see what emerges from this trial.
And we're going to talk more about this in these coming days. And also remember that President Trump just pardoned the convicted narco trafficker, Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through our public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
I'm Don Jacobson, host of Movin' On, Fridays right after the noon news. Not only does Movin' On feature folk music, but every Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 7 a.m., you can hear a different host bringing you folk music that is engaging, intelligent, heartfelt, humorous, profound, entertaining, and relevant. It is accessible right here on KBOO. Please take this opportunity to invest in a radio station that dares to bring you folk music that you cannot hear anywhere else. Go to KBOO. KBOO.fm/give, text to KBOO at 44321, or click on donate on your mobile app. Whatever you can afford, your generosity is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Good morning, and you are listening to KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 191.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.fm. Today is Monday, the 5th of January. The year is 2026. I am Cecil, and I am so thrilled that you have decided to spend a few minutes with us this morning. Thank you so much for your support of KBOO Radio and your continued support for this independent media machine that is owned by us. We are the ones who create this. We are the one who decide what goes on the air, and we are the one who fund it. So all of you who have participated in our KBOO Fights Back year-end drive, $75,000 goal, thank you so much. And if you have not, it's not too late. Just go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button, and That way you can be an involved, active KBOO activist. Again, I'm Cecil. Let me give you our phone numbers for you to share, because I want to hear from you too, because maybe you can make sense of this nonsense that we are in. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. I was speaking just a few minutes ago with our engineer Ray, and talking about the subject for this morning's program. And of course, I told him, well, the topic is, you know, the headlines. The apparent collapse of the rule of law, not even pretending, the U.S. is not even pretending to abide by the rule of law, you know. We won't abide by U.S. constitutional code of conduct. We will ignore international law, and as Ray reminded us, we are being driven by might. Power is the only thing that counts, and that is what is important. So this collapse of the rule of law, might is right. What is the future, and where do we go from here? As I was preparing for this program early in the week, I was wanted to focus on what was going on in Nigeria and the attack in Nigeria, supposedly to protect religious communities. And then I got distracted and by saying, well, what is all this talk about the president and Greenland? I wanted to talk a little bit more about the president's fascination with Greenland. And then, lo and behold, on Saturday, what we probably knew was coming, the U.S. Went into Venezuela, kidnapped the president. And as Mr. Trump had said, well, we're going to run things now. And there's so much that is left up in the air, and I am uncertain about what direction this nation is going, leaning into. So what are your thoughts? What are your perspective about where we are as a nation, and more particularly, where do we go from here? Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. And again, among the topics this morning is what is happening in Venezuela, particularly where do we go from here? What are the president's intent? And particularly, is it only about Venezuela? We know it's about Colombia. We know it's about Cuba. And it's about maybe a return to the 19th century. Oftentimes people have said during the last presidential campaign, people have asked, what do you mean make America great again? When was America great? Well, I think according to this administration, it was certainly a time of muscle diplomacy of the 19th century, return to the Monroe Doctrine of, you know, this is all ours and we are in control of things. So with this collapse of the rule of law and might is right, no, not even pretending to abide by U.S. constitutional norms, what is the future? Where do we go from here? Let me remind you before I go to our first caller that our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let's go to a caller. Good morning, Matthew. How are you this morning?
Doing as well as I can be, honestly. Okay. Hell of a way to start the new year.
Yeah. So, what, Give me some of your thoughts, your wisdom.
Yeah, it's I've been thinking a lot about how the country began lately. Mm-hmm. I'm a student of history. Not in any, I would say, academic way. Mm-hmm. I'm not in school currently, but history has always been the thing that's fascinated me the most.
Yeah,
how we got to where we are, sort right. of deal, right?
Great.
And the myth of how the United States of America started has changed and morphed as it's become useful to the people in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But it started with people coming to a land that was already occupied and deciding that since there was few enough people and enough land, that they had a right to it.
Mm.
And we're here now. That's just a fact. People are here now. There has been a society that has grown up here on the backs of, on the corpses of many people that deserved a better shot. But that doesn't mean that it has to be this way. I'm thinking about the past. I'm thinking about how America was started because I feel like something new, something different could be made from what is already here. I think something smaller. I think that I don't think that armed uprisings or any sort of violence is really a way forward long term. I just think that there needs to be a way for us, for myself, I've lived here my entire life, so I think of my home as the region of the Northwest. I think the Cascadia movement and sort of that concept of bioregionalism is something that I think could be a lot healthier for societies going forward. I feel like that would be a much better way to think about countries as a concept.
So let me ask you to expand a little bit on your point, because I think what I'm hearing in part is you're saying that beginning regionally, beginning where you are, and also maybe because that's something doable or something we can put our, literal hands to and create a community where we are. And you also mentioned, your observation. I appreciate your observation about, the nation's history and where we are now, and understanding that, the ugly side of our history, but also I sense a sense of, well, if this is where we are now, can we do something good? And you'd say quite clearly that an armed uprising is probably not the answer. Did I summarize what you were saying?
Yeah. No, I would say that was the long and short of it. I agree. I think the bioregionalism, this idea of focusing on the land, focusing on an idea of the actual place you are instead of the concept of a country, of a nation, of a flag, these symbols. I think symbols are useful, but ephemeral.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at a flag of the United States and feel much of anything outside of kind of the negative history that we have, really. I don't feel the freedom and the liberty that everyone thinks of when they look at the Stars and Stripes. I think of the terrible wars and the oppression that has happened in my lifetime. I'm 25, and all of my life has been spent somewhere in war or taking part in, repression at home. So, but I look at the flag of Cascadia, I look at the pine tree, I look at this idea of my home, and I feel a fondness. And I think that can be replicated elsewhere. I think everyone should be able to feel that pride in where they are and the people around them. Ties them together.
Yes, what ties them together. Well, thank you, Matthew, for your words and for your observation and for for giving me a shot of optimism, because I haven't been feeling very optimistic. But thank you for your thoughts. And go ahead.
It's been a practice. I've been trying very, very hardly lately.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much, and you have a good day. And you're listening to More Talk Radio and your community radio station, KBOO. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And our caller, Matthew, who spent some time sharing their thoughts about our nation, how our nation began, its history. And Matthew's observation that perhaps a way to move forward is bioregionalism, focusing on the land where you are, the region where you are, the people where you are, and in that way, we can not only make a difference, but we can create community. Matthew also observed that much of his life has been during a time of war, So much of what we can do depends on us offering an alternative vision of the world we want. Matthew's observation, I think Matthew said he was 25, I think he said, and reminded me of certainly throughout his lifetime, if he's 25, has been certainly the U.S. has been in literal war since beginning of the 21st century. We saw the war that we engage in and that continues flowing over. So where are we as a community, as a world? Well, what are some of your thoughts about where we should go, and how should we continue on making sure we create a world where justice is more than a dream, but a reality? And what are some of your thoughts about the directions of the intents of the president and what appears to me a desire to flex his political power, but also by saying that we are kings, literally kings of the world, and we can do what we want, where we want, when we want, without even attempting to abide by constitutional norms and regulations. It will be interesting what will happen at the United Nations when the UN meet to talk about the U.S. actions in Venezuela. Certainly, the U.S., as one of the five permanent members of the Security Council, can and probably will veto any strong denunciation of the attack on Venezuela. But it will be interesting to hear what other nations will say in terms of continuing standing up towards this beast of America as it seeks to control and have its say, not only in the region, but certainly look out Greenland and Canada, besides Colombia and Cuba and Venezuela, but also internationally. So it's interesting to me that in an administration where so many of their supporters were very voted for Mr. Trump because they did not want America to flex its muscles overseas, but to focus on what's happening within the United States proper. Suddenly, this desire to assert military power is something that this present administration is doing that other administrations have also done. I think maybe there's something happened when you get into the White House and you have all that power, and you know, in addition to all the nuclear codes, you have the possibility to say, well, what can I do, we do, to make the world more acceptable to us? How can we flex our military power? And so an administration came into power saying that we want to focus on domestic issues, suddenly has found its desire to assert itself militarily, not only in the region on the Western Hemisphere, but certainly throughout the world. So we'll see what happens next and what we can do to affirm and to resist what is happening with this administration. So give me some of your thoughts about the collapse of the rule of law and the affirmation that might is right, unashamedly, unapologetically. This regime is saying that we will govern because we can and we have the power. What are some of your thoughts? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Tangent. How are you this morning?
Hi there, Cecil and friends.
Okay.
I came up with a new term. It's shorter than brothers and sisters, but you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Let's see. I guess I want to start with the previous caller was talking about symbols and the flag.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention that the military's newspaper is called Stars and Stripes. But I wonder how they interpret those Stars and Stripes. I also thought about, I've seen the Democratic and the Republican symbols, the donkey and the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see, okay, they often put them together, right? In the same kind of, anyway.
I'm trying to follow you. Continue.
They're the same. They're the same. Their feet are bloody red, and the top half of them are just stars in a blue field, right? So they got stars in their eyes. But the thing is that they're both the same size.
So
near the same size as an elephant, right?
I'm not following you. So you're saying the symbols of the Democrats and Republicans, the donkey and the elephant. So the point being,
well, I saw them both together. They're often put together, like maybe they're facing each other or something. But basically, they both have the bottom half of each animal is red, and the top half is blue with white stars.
And so that's one person's interpretation. So the point
being, well, that's their interpretation.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going like with Ralph Nader calling it a duopoly or something. But
okay.
But that's their symbol, their a mascot or what do you call it, and they've designed it that way. So they're both parties are actually saying they're very much similar.
Okay.
Only different in shape of the animal.
Okay, so they both choose animals for their symbols, and it's very similar. And I think I'm hearing your affirmation that these two political parties are maybe kind of similar to one another, and that what we have here is something to struggle against.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's enough of that. I would say, let's see. It's hilarious to hear Chuck Schumer and King Jeffries now getting up. We need a war powers resolution. Guess what? You had it. You didn't use it, and you lost it. Okay? They had. This has been a law. They have never, it's like us with our rights. If we don't exercise them, they're going to get flabby. Well, they haven't exercised their power, and now they're complaining that they have none.
Well, let me ask you and ask other callers, because I think this is a very good point in terms of talking about the three branches of the federal government. The Congress is a co-equal part of the federal government, and as you have rightly asserted, they have not affirmed their rights and their duties. They have not acted, have not taken up the War Powers Act and certainly has not declared a war. So certainly, certainly right now Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are in the minorities, but certainly where is the Congress? Where is the Speaker of the House? And where is the Republicans leaders in the Senate? We have to go to our next caller. Thank you so much, Tangent, for calling and for reminding us of the importance of symbol. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I am Cecil, and next we will hear from Janet. Good morning, Janet. How are you this Monday morning?
Well, I got myself a really, really exhausted, terrifying ride home. A friend of mine was begging me to come to an event in Gresham, and then I thought I really need to go because it's getting dark. I don't like driving. And then it was a terrifying storm. I thought, I'm so lucky that I made it home alive because there's a horrible driving in the dark and the stormy weather.
Right.
And the event was a gathering. It should be like a nice gathering where people get together and do art and talk about wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
But what it made me think about, people at a personal level are maybe all people everywhere are working through very deep, dark, subconscious, psychological problems. When you think about back at time, like there were Freud, and then there was the Holocaust, and then and then Jung and Freud were arguing and had a different idea and what the context was of power and control and sexuality and all of these deep, dark psychological issues about repression and aggression. And it seems like all that stuff is just like playing out in such a huge, dark way. They call that in Buddhism the devil king of the seventh heaven, and then the miasma of if you kind of look in at some of the spiritual prophetic things, that this dark miasma is playing out in the deep psyche out there and everywhere, and it's zigzagged its way to the top with people that have kind of personality disorders that somehow really enjoy making taking this bullying political platform so far out in the lead that it's just gotten way past everything we had ever dreamed of, and that's like right here, right in front of us. And so what I think about is my opportunity with myself to work on issues that I might have, my own self, my own little soda great grandma self, with being suspicious and insecure and wanting things to be okay for my own kids, but then knowing that the important thing at the sky above us is to be a global citizen, to recognize that we're not going to just be so working so against everything that humanity needs to rise to care about each other everywhere impartially, to have the strength to understand that we should understand philosophy in a deep, deep, deep way, like Plato and Aristotle, get up out of the little dark anger, fear issues, and care about each other.
I think you're raising some important points. So let me ask you, in terms of, you use the term of global citizens, there's so much isolation and me-ism around. How do we become global citizens? How do we promote that? And you mentioned in terms of, you know, the things you're working with, you know, with your family. How do we get that awareness?
What I really try to do is to not create enmity towards myself in my neighborhood and thinking some of these people that might have voted wrong or thinking what the heck, they see things going down, that I try to build some trust in my own sphere of influence, and that if we recognize how important it is, like if a change in one single person is a change everywhere. I know I have my own little issues. My sister was 1 year old when the Pearl Harbor thing was announced, and so there's reasons why some of her family goes into the military and start to be thinking, whoops, that people can feel okay, whoops, be okay with each other on a one-to-one level is huge. And I don't know that raising the consciousness of everyone everywhere is a big thing, but that was the way we dialogue with each other. Like right now, I hear as Cecil's thinking, maybe this lady is not a crazy radical nut, but, you know, that as human beings, we can engage with each other. I think it's wonderful that you have this platform. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for affirming the need to talk with one another, to build trust, to be in communication, to build community. That's so important. Thank you, Janet, for calling and for being a part of this conversation this morning. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in your FM dial, 91.9 Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, via the World Wide Web. It is KBOO.FM. I am Cecil. I am your host this morning, and our numbers are to call in are 503-231-8187. A few of the listeners have called in this morning. Last caller, Janet, who was sharing about many things, and she began by talking about, you know, gathering with a group of fellow artists and you know, kind of weary because, you know, the weather was bad and it was kind of dark and driving at night, but also sharing the importance of building community and finding building trust with one another, that not there's not one single person, but we are all in this together, and that a change is for everyone, and the importance of dialogue with one another. Now, some of you, we've started the new year off, and you might have had certain intent and this first week of the new year to do things in a different way, how to build community, how to nurture, to be with one another. I was reminded of that with Janet, who, our last caller, who shared the importance of reaching out towards one another and building community. But it requires all of us to work together and finding ways to build community. So our numbers are 503-231-8187. Began this morning by just trying to breathe and trying to take in all that has been going on with this, with the president and the administration, and what seems to me, which does not, I'm not a constitutional lawyer or anything like that, but it seems to me that as an ordinary citizen, that the president has been stretching the boundaries of what they ought to do under the Constitution and under the laws of the United States. But certainly this is not important to this president. From not given any details of the strikes on small boats to now going into a sovereign country and kidnapping its leader and bringing it to the United States, there seems to be no stopping of this administration. And certainly one of the callers mentioned the fact that there are certain leaders in the Congress who are speaking and bemoaning the fact that the Congress did not authorize what happened in Venezuela, the kidnapping of the president. It certainly did not authorize what happened in Nigeria a week ago, and it will continue. So whatever happened to those of you who are old enough, remember following the fiasco in Vietnam, that Congress began to reassert its power, and in the 1970s developed the War Powers Act, which demanded, which required before troops are sent away, that the Congress authorized that. Certainly this was not the case in Nigeria, this was not the case in Venezuela, and certainly some Democrats have said, you know, going to, you know, various news talk shows, that we were not consulted, things are not okay. But certainly, where is the third, this branch of the U.S. Congress? Certainly, the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court, seem to have caved in to the Trump administration, and it's certainly the power, certainly the Congress has the power to affirm its power. The Speaker of the House isn't acting as the leader of the U.S. Congress, more like a someone who does errands for the president, you know, a separate branch of the government. And certainly the leader, the House, the Speaker of the House, is not asserting their authority. Similarly, I heard that the leader in the U.S. Senate, Republican Thune, I believe, has, you know, given lip service to okay what the president did in Venezuela is okay. And so we'll see what will happen. He's certainly trying to walk a careful walk, but he has certainly not affirmed the power of the Congress. So we'll see what happens. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. If you have some thoughts about what's been happening in the administration the last week or so, in terms of its suddenly finding the need to affirm its muscle in military power and military might by attacking small boats in the Caribbean, off the coasts of South America, or whether it is going into Nigeria. These are all things to be concerned about. And again, the question comes to at the end is, where is the U.S. Congress and where is it? Certainly some lawmakers have questioned the legal authority of the United States in terms of its intervention into Venezuela. But for the most part, we have been silent. The U.S. Congress has been silent. The president is scheduled to meet with House Republicans on Tuesday. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, let's go to someone who has something to say. Some wisdom from Jeff. Jeff, make sense of what's happening.
It's difficult. Okay. I'll tell you that much. It's obvious that gunboat diplomacy and the big stick philosophy has never died. I did want to indicate, not as a reason, not as an excuse, not as an alibi, but you may recall that Maduro did himself essentially to a worse degree did what Trump himself did, which was to overturn or rig an election. Mm-hmm. Which Mr. Trump did in 2016, when by jujitsu he managed to, by electoral jujitsu, managed to get the presidency without the popular vote. But Maduro is no angel. He did rig the election, and I forget the opposition figure that actually won the election. And now, this is not an excuse.
No, it's not an
excuse. It's not an excuse. I'm just saying that the corruption is everywhere.
Yeah, and certainly it's not an excuse, and certainly you are aware that there are bad players, bad leaders throughout the world. And so, so a question for me is, and then it's for the president, why was it important for you to do this right now to this leader, as opposed to, you know,
the answer is obvious. As opposed to Nigeria, where he's simply, this Caligula is simply kowtowing to what he thinks are his Christian base in Nigeria, as to the events in Nigeria and how Caligula interprets them. Mm-hmm. But the answer is obvious. There's a puddle of oil under Venezuela. It's called the Orinoco region.
Yes.
And there are these puddles of oil all over the world. Mm-hmm. United States companies, over the years, did the doodlebugging. Doodlebugging is what the term is when men, mostly men, go around the world looking for oil with various means, including explosions and just all kinds of geo-searching for petroleum. Mm-hmm. And it's about the oil. And the only way to stop that is for you and me to say no. We're not going to drive a vehicle. We're not going to put gasoline in anything. And we're going to reduce as best we can all uses of plastic. In fact, every plastic bag you ever get, be it a bag in the produce department, your local grocery store, be it a box filled with a bunch of pre-made, hefty branded trash bags, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every bag you have can be used more than once.
Yeah.
And thus you can reduce your impact, your personal impact, the production and distribution of plastic, which comes from all that petroleum.
Let me ask you, because I think what you're asking of us is certainly reasonable and something we should do. I see that this administration, unlike other administration who at least gave lip service
to conservation,
this administration is very principled against conservation. You know, and it's
right. It's because everybody gets a lollipop from the man who promises lollipops. I believe I may have to change the name of this man from Caligula to the famous child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh. And lollipops, candies, all three today. And the masses are seduced, easily seduced, because it is in their self-interest to have more lollipops. Yeah. And here comes a man, says, more lollipops. And I'll do what I can to continue the supply of lollipops. Well, that makes all of us just absolutely as mentally ill as Caligula himself. It's time to stop. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Cecil, carry on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your thoughts. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. Our last caller, Jeff, was sharing some of his observations about the boat ship diplomacy, the battleship diplomacy of the United States, and the lust, the love for oil, and how this president is seeking to get more and more and more. And as our last caller observed, even they're not even pretending to promote conservation, to promote better stewardship of the resources here on this small planet. Rather, more is better. Destroy, build, build. The the way in which the White House is being destroyed, I think, is symbolic of this administration desire to create havoc, not only on the White House, but in terms of the economy and in terms of the world. We have to do better. We have to create a better way. And how do we do it? One of our callers mentioned, observed, that there have been movements throughout the world and indeed in the United States of resisting to this fascism overreach. And those are the things that we should promote. And so while the president and his minions continue to wreak havoc not only on the people who live on these shores, but throughout the world, there are things that people can and will do. So give us a call and share your perspective. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. But first, let's hear from Lou. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Thank you.
So some of us are watching simultaneously the UN debate about the UN charter and the violation of the charter by Trump and the military war against Venezuela. So far, there's been three or four different ambassadors talking. Pakistan is talking now, their ambassador, and they're focusing the most on the violations of the UN charter with this war by Trump. However, some of the other ambassadors, in their remarks, which are brief, mostly talked about Maduro abridging democracy in the last Venezuelan election. But they don't also then go to what Trump says, which is, and you may have talked about this already, is it, I mean, I know what KB listeners will think in the main, is it appropriate or fair, despite the UN Charter or the U.S. Constitution, for a democracy, United States, and especially with January 6th, with Trump, to complain or say that because an election was rigged, it's okay to overthrow the government and capture the president who's there. So it's sort of a moral and a political question. So I don't know if you have thoughts on that specific area.
I don't, but I mean, I would like to hear your thoughts, because in terms of certainly a political, but a moral debate, I don't think this administration has the integrity to have that.
No, I'm guessing that most Lekebu folks would agree with that. I should mention, and you might have other callers already too, you're getting close to the end, there is, if people are interested in continuing the conversation on local organizing resistance to the war and to Trump, there's a forum at PSU. It's Wednesday night, this Wednesday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Elliot Young, who's a history teacher, he's been on Cecil's program, is going to be one of the speakers against Trump and against the war, along with some other organizers. It's at PSU Poblano Mexican Grill Cafe, 1921 Southwest 6, which is two doors down from Cheerful Tortoise. So again, it's Wednesday, 6 p.m., January 7th. It's basically a speak out by community members against the war and against Trump.
And that's at 6:30, you said?
No, 6 p.m.
Oh, 6 p.m.
Like Mohammed Hassan, who used to go to Portland State, was an organizer. He's going to phone in from Atlanta, Georgia. Michelle, who's an organizer in Washington, D.C., is going to phone in. This is just a meeting. It's not a radio program. It's an in-person brainstorming on what tactics to take. Some of us have been going to the demonstrations downtown already against Trump's war on Venezuela.
Okay. Hey,
all right, thanks.
Lots of good information. Thank you, Lou. And for those of you who are interested, this forum at PSU at 6 p.m. Ooh, Wednesday, I think he said. Wednesday, I hope he said. If not, he'll call back. Let's go to Janet, who has something more to say. Good morning. Again.
Hi there. Well, you know, actually, there was something I wanted to begin with, and I wanted to tie it up with that. Was like, what's the thread, Janet? Because we had a huge storm, not the one last night, but previously at midnight, because I live so close to the river, it said, emergency, just get up and go and don't get anything. And so then, because I live like it's like a teeny leeny little walk from where the river was rising. Mm. And what I wanted to share my thoughts is terrifying what nature is presenting us with. And nobody's able to go skiing. People are coming up here. And the whole, you know, everything in the megaverse is screaming. Something is happening. So the nature's one thing I want to leave you with in nature gives us clues, and the one I wanted to give us with is good and evil. If you think about the metaphor of the rushing river, and we want to go gently down the stream, and the embankment is huge, all the sticks and the mud and the rocks, that we can develop boundaries in within ourselves to have a healthy way to recognize that good and evil and heaven and hell are not somewhere else, somebody else, something else besides that. We recognize in our own lives that we have the courage and the dignity and the clarity to develop understanding about what's going on in the psyche of everyone everywhere, that we could recognize how we can make the world a better place by recognizing the underlying potential that we have rationality as human beings, that we don't have to dog each other. Okay.
Oh, that's good. What is something I can do this week that encourages that?
Well, you're doing it all the time, building trust and giving me a chance to air myself in on KBOO, and so just keep being the nice guy you are and growing and recognizing that as New Year comes, we got to look inside of ourselves and what are the weaknesses that we have that we can work on. I get terrified, worried about my kids, and I got to relax and say, okay, if I'm doing things right, it's going to be okay. And all of us everywhere cannot just get defensive and aggressive.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate you calling back
for
sharing that wisdom. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM. I am Cecil. We have a few minutes left to, if you would like to call in and share some of your thoughts. That was Janet, who reminds us that, you know, the river might be rising, but nature is warning us. Nature's gives us clues, good and evil, and a way of healthy way of living. So as we go down this river, and with all the mud and all the logs and everything that gets in the way, and it seemed rough somehow, let's remind ourselves that we are the ones who have the ability to change the course. Certainly, I might feel powerless where we are, and that there is nothing we can do. But as callers shared this morning, Janet among them, that we can build trust with one another, that we can create community. I think Matthew started us off well this morning by saying, regardless of how this nation began, we are here now. Yes, we stand on the corpses of many people who deserved a better shot and did not get one. And we are living in the midst of a world where there are too many people who continue to suffer. And we may feel we have no strength, but there is something we can do. And that is something you can do right now. We have a few more minutes. There might be another caller online, I think. And maybe not. No, it was just, the ghost caller. Wow, that's intriguing. Our number is 503-231-8187. And as we begin this new year off, and there's so much that's going wrong, what is it that we can do? What is it one thing that you can do. I'm encouraged by what I heard this morning by people who's sharing in their neighborhood. Lou mentioned that there have been people who've been speaking out, been rallying, particularly around in the last couple of days around Venezuela, and reminded us that there are people gathering in our communities. Reminded us of a gathering this Wednesday, 6 p.m. at PSU. We will have some where people will have conversations about what is going out. Others have reminded us that we are living in a region where we can encourage one another by focusing on the land where we are. There are symbols that are useful. They may see, but we can use them to build a better world. There are things that all of us can do and create. So what are some things that you are planning to do this year? As this year began, and we might seem overwhelmed by the tragedies that are all around us, what are things that we can do? There are things that we can do, each one of us, by sharing with those around us, by building community with those in our corner. Not always with people we like, but with people who are there, we build community. So, my friends, as we begin this new year, and as there seems to be so much, continue to take care of one another, especially our friends and our neighbors who are being terrorized by our federal government, who are being kidnapped, who are being snatched away. Remember those who have less than we have and need help. Remember those who are in need of kindness, in need of joy, in need of love. Let's hear back one more time from Tangent, and then I will say goodbye to you all. But let's hear Tangent.
Hi there again. I forgot to mention, but when Janet called back, I thought, okay, about one thing we can do is see through the symbols, through the symbolism. It's one thing to look at a symbol and be reminded of something, but here's the thing. When they were arresting Maduro, I noticed on the video that the agents were wearing DEA uniforms, okay? On the back of their jackets were DEA, and I thought, well, they're not going into a combat zone. Oh, then I realized, okay, it could have been on the ship, could have been in New York. But what I'm getting at is that Trump keeps talking about this as drugs, and we all know it's about oil. But what is an addiction of America? Oil, rare earth minerals, gold.
Yeah,
all of which are lying there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That is so wise. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for calling back. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. This is the first week of the new year. Thank you all for being a part of this radio station and for making sure that we create community for all of us. Stay tuned and be a part of this community radio station by joining. We've had a year-end campaign, but, you know, it's still stretch it out a little bit more. So go to kboo.fm, click on the donate. We've had a $75,000 goal end of the year drive. Let's hopefully we'll make it and we'll do something great with your support. It is so important for all of us to remain engaged and to stay in touch with one another. Stay tuned for programming here on KBOO, and listen not only to this programming, but tell your friends about the importance of community. There's so much that is happening and so much we need to stay in touch with. This is a new year, and this is the opportunity for us to create a better world. It may not be the world we want, but we, in our own little way, can make a difference by being that shining light of hope and justice for those who are all around us. It is so important to continue that, and it is so important. I'm looking at our engineer. Oh, thank you all for being a part of this community. Thank you for listening to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil, and I will speak to you next time.
Sylvester the Boogie Cat, meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
Do you need some quiet mood music? Some soothing sounds?
Well, then never listen to Life During Wartime, because they just